Hey, Oasis Church Chicago, Pastor JP here. Hey, we're so glad that you're joining with us on our podcast today. I pray today that this message stirs your faith, that it builds you up, that it draws you closer to the Father's heart, and ultimately that you just feel the embrace of heaven. We would love to stay connected with you and you to stay connected with us. So please feel free to check us out on our website, oasischurchchicago.com, or download our app, Oasis Church Chicago. Also, you can be sure to join with us on our live stream on our YouTube page every Wednesday night and Sunday morning. Now here's today's message.
Thank you. Sit down. Y'all are too kind. I had a couple people tell me this morning that I looked like I was getting ready to preach. I'm like, what do I look like I'm getting ready to preach means? But I guess I have this privilege to come before you guys, and I can't hide it. I can't hide when I'm excited about it, when God is speaking to me, when God is preparing to use me to come to a group of, again, I mean, as much as Pastor JP just shared, you know, how the community is grateful for us, like, you guys just don't know. Like, you just don't understand that your faithfulness, your presence, your intentionality, just all of those things have served my family and I in so many ways, and so that honor is reciprocated, and I'm super appreciative of you guys. But let's get to business. Let's get to work. Before we put my title up, I gave instruction. I asked that you not put it up just yet because I want to have a conversation that is somewhat taboo in the church, that we don't often hear communicated from the front. We hear it all the time. We hear about it. We talk around it. But today, you can go ahead and put it up. I want to talk about the topic of mental illness. The topic of mental health, given a biblical approach to mental health. Some of you guys already look. I see the face of y'all like, huh, wait a second now. Wait a second. That's a lot. Not only is that a lot, but you're not a doctor. You're not a neuroscientist. You are not him. I get it. But I think we need to look at the reality of the pandemic of mental health and the issues surrounding it. Understand that it is not, contrary to popular belief, this is not something new. Like, this didn't just come out. Like, we look for the new thing, and there are absolutely new labels, new titles, new perspectives, or fresh perspectives being set forth. But this is not a new thing. It is something that is biblical. It is something that is still subject to the power of God. It is something that, as believers, we need to be versed and prepared. And I would endeavor to say, because of the level of issue that it has become, we need to know better than the world. We do. You can go ahead and throw up my next slide. I want to preface this by looking at Scripture. This is what the Bible tells us. His divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I'm going to say that again. God's divine power has granted us all things, everything, all understanding that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. The table is set, understanding and knowing that Jesus has an answer for this. And we got to let that just sink in because the conversation around mental health is so big, it's so vast, it's so wide, it's so prevalent, the issues, that we begin to lose sight of the fact that God has answered every question, that there is nothing new under the sun, that nothing that is besetting us now is something that just came out. The devil doesn't have a new weapon. Even to say it's a weapon in the hand of the enemy is concerning for some. We're going to talk about it. I don't want to hear statements like, well, God gave us doctors. Absolutely. Without question, God gave us doctors. In layman's terms, duh. Yeah. Duh. He gave us doctors. He gave us apostles and prophets, preachers, teachers, pastors, for the work of the ministry and for the equipping of the saints. So if you're telling me God gave us doctors, amen. Did he give us the fivefold ministry for the equipping of the saints? Amen. It's not either or, it's both and. And so again, I wanna look at really quick. I looked up a study. It was from University of Harvard, so Harvard Medical School. I didn't do it, they did it. They're smart, clearly. I'm gonna read it. Harvard University Medical School in Queensland, the University of Queensland. Study says, now they actually did this study based on 29 nations. 29 nations, so it's not, we're not talking about American problem. We're not talking about black problem or white problem. We're not talking about a young people problem or a senior problem. 29 nations were surveyed. Tons of information went into this. This was in July of this year. According to this large-scale study by the co-led researchers of Harvard and Queensland University, they found that one of every two people in the world will develop a mental health disorder in their lifetime. One out of two. That's a lot. That's a lot. It is staggering. So I'm not being dramatic by saying it's a pandemic or an epidemic. And I'm not trying to beat a dead horse, but we gotta look at it. One, God has gave us all understanding. He has every answer in his word. Two, this is a really big question. All answers, big question. So it has to be in the word. It has to be in the word. I work with teens. If you guys don't know, I'm the dean here at Chicago Hope Academy. I have the privilege of serving 300 students in this space. Without question, it is not close. The number one issue that we have to serve for our teens in this space is mental health issues. Statistics says 77% of our teens. That's a lot, God. Let us get that understanding that God absolutely gave us practical and he gave us medicine. He gave us in no way, shape, or form. I want it to be said, this is being recorded. I'm not saying don't go to the doctor. I'm not saying don't take medication. I'm not saying that a professional in a field with a medical degree, with a neurological science degree, cannot assess you and demonstrate an understanding of what is going on with you and help you in a very practical, worldly, secular profession. That we're done with that, right? Y'all not gonna sit here and keep looking at me like, well, Pastor, you're out of your league. Yeah, all right. I'm right where I'm supposed to be. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. I want to look at the word. A quick search in the Bible, a quick glance at the Bible, without the blinders of spiritual and natural, secular and the holy. Just take off those blinders and understand that we are flesh and spirit. We are in the world, but not of the world. Understanding that we exist in both realms fully, but we are submitted to one realm. We are submitted to one realm. And so I want to take a look at scripture just really quick. I'll click on touch on a couple topics, a couple people. You guys know the story of Job. I've read Job, I looked at Job, know all the things of Job. Don't want to be Job. I don't want to have a job because I don't want it to be close to Job. No, I'm just playing. We understand, but when you look at Job and look at what he went through, look at his life, and then have the conversation about depression. What would they have said about Job? If you picked up Job and you put him down, like regretting the day he was born, why did I even have to be here? God, why me? Like depression. I'm gonna go quick. I don't have long. Look at Elijah. Talk about suicidal ideation. That's why it's important to know our Bible, guys. Church 101, know your word. Because things start to click, things start to remind you. When Elijah was sitting under that tree and he's, man, I cursed the day I was born. I regret being born. I want to get out of here. I'm done. Now, this is the same Elijah that had just defeated Hundreds, 450. And it was another 400 watching. It was 450 prophets that came against him, and he... That's how he did it. That was it right there. Fire. A little fire on it. Y'all done? Y'all done? This is the same, like, no, this is hilarious. It's funny to me. I don't know if it's funny to you. The Bible says that he tucked his cloak into his belt and what? Outran a chariot. He outran Ahab's chariot. Like, come on, y'all. Come on. That was just, hey, you don't get no more godly than that. You don't. Same guy. Same guy. Powerful demonstration, clear, evident presence of God. That's it. That's it right there. I want to die. I'm done. I'm by myself. I'm by myself out here. I ain't got nobody with me. Saul. The Bible says that a distressing spirit came upon him. I'm just saying, just look at it. Just look again. Look again, people of God, because this just came out. These new terms, what would they have diagnosed Saul? PTSD? Homicidal ideation? He said he was sitting there listening to music. The distressing spirit came, and he sought to pin David against the wall. He wanted to chuck a spear at his friend. I don't know if it ever been that bad, but anybody that's been mad, talk about road rage. No, that was a different level of anger. Like, this spirit is upon me. And what was even David doing? He was playing music. He was playing music. And the Bible says that music tended to that spirit. I don't want to get ahead, but come on. When God found Elijah, he didn't just say, "Arise, man of God, this is just not." No. Rest. Eat. Come on. We live in the natural, and when we submit to the spiritual, he said, rest, eat. Now look again. Look again. Let me talk to you about this. There are 10,000. You're not by yourself. Get up. It wasn't the bootstraps talk, but he said, get up. He tended to his mental health. We can talk about a lot. David reading the Psalms. I mean, look again. Just go look. Just go read. That's what we go to when we're feeling. My enemies are camped behind me, and they're all around me. There's nothing to distress. Why, God? Yes, all of that. And then right back happy. Thank you, Lord. I'm entering into your house with praise and to your gates with thanksgiving. To the left and to the right, who can beat me? Like, oh, and one of the best, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What did they say about him? Even then, they didn't have the term schizophrenia. But they said, oh, no, he has a demon. I mean, this guy showing up saying, if you see me, you've seen the Father. Huh? If you see me, you've seen the... Yeah, sir, no. Right? Like, but we can read it with all of our knowledge on this side and say, that's Jesus, guys. No, in his time, think about what that speaks to us today. Some of the things you see, some of the things you say, the prophetic understanding God gives you, what will be said of you? What do you think of yourself because you're dreaming that you keep getting up at 3:00 in the morning? Do you need melatonin? Or should you be on the intercessory team? Just asking. I don't have a whole bunch of answers. The word has the answers. I want to have the conversation because see what we're not going to do is act like God doesn't have something to say. What we're not going to do is act like pastors can't speak into it. And I'll go one step further. Any believer has the obligation to speak into it. Why would you say that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because the Bible says he who wins souls is wise. That if we are winning, we are to be soul winners. We are supposed to spread the gospel. What's a soul? What is a soul? What is a soul comprised of? The mind, the will, and the emotions. The mind, the will, and the emotions. Talk about mental health. If we are to operate in what God has called us to do, we need to be winning souls. We need to understand. Not saying we need to have a degree, not saying we need to administer the medicines and those things that I've already, again, don't look at me like I'm crazy. If you need to go to the hospital, go. I'm just saying pray on the way. And if God say turn around, then you turn around. I just want to point this out before we gonna move along, because I think we getting it already. I think some gears are turning. I think we're understanding this is still a God thing. Yeah. Jesus, and I'm gonna butcher this word, in the Garden of Gethsemane. You may know this, you may not. It was news to me as he prayed. I remember it from the song. It's a song, Derek Coon made a song called Plead the Blood, Plead the Blood. It's like one of the like oldest, just basic. But when I first came to know the Lord, that thing, I play it all the time. He walked, we plead the blood over our today. Yes. He was like, it was it for me, okay? I didn't need nothing else. But he said, drops of agony. And I would think of Jesus, those drops of agony. It said, as sweat, those drops of sweat. Did you know that hematohidrosis, yeah, huh? It's a very rare condition in which an individual sweats blood. It may occur in an individual who is suffering from extreme levels of stress. I think what Jesus had going on would qualify. Slightly stressful, weight of the world, literally, on your shoulders. But no, guys, they didn't have the diagnoses. He didn't have the blood clotting medicine to take for that condition. They didn't put him on IV. They didn't. That was one of those situations where he said, God, not my will. Not my will. And so, again, we have to look at the word. We have to look to Christ as the one with all of the answers that has something to say about things, especially when they are this big. I just want to throw this in. I don't have the scripture up, but I wrote it down. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. This is Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Bible continues to speak to it. Now look at that. Do not be conformed to the pattern. Don't just think it's what the world is telling you it is. Don't just be stuck operating the way the world operates. I got a headache, I need an aspirin. I got a stomach ache, I need Pepto-Bismol. No, we lay hands. We still pray. We still acknowledge what it is. You can go to the next slide, 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. Listen, pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments. The Bible is talking about what you're thinking and saying. Pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. If it's not in the word, I'm a liar. If it's not sitting right there in front of me saying, this is a battle in the field of the mind, in the mind field. This is it right here. This is where it is. And your weapons are not carnal. I'm gonna say it one last time. That don't mean don't go to the hospital. That does not mean do not consult a psychiatrist or a therapist. That's not what I'm just saying what it says here. Can we talk about that part? Can we just talk about how the fact that we're supposed to cast down arguments? We're supposed to bring every thought of depression, every thought of anxiety, every thought of worthlessness, every thought of abandonment, every thought of loneliness. You bring it captive to the obedience to Christ. Because what was Christ's obedience? He said, nevertheless, not my will, not my will. I know I'm going through this thing, but it's not about me. It can't be about me. If it was about me, then we're all done. This extends to every realm. What thoughts are we bringing captive? What you listen to? What you watch? How you vote? I ain't gonna go political, don't worry. But every thought. We're battling against high things. Everything that we do is to be submitted. How we navigate relationships. Do we know that the Bible says if you are on your way to offer a sacrifice and your brother has aught against you, you turn around and go make it right. Oh, see, we quick to come into the house of God because you can sit down and don't nobody know you up there. And your life ain't right and no one knows. And you can God said, no, you supposed to make that right. You're supposed to make that right. And don't just turn around. Just call him on the way there. I don't know how we're going to fix it, but I want it to be okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Or I expect an apology. If I don't get it, then I'm still okay, but I expect one. We are spiritual, physical, and relational. The word of God addresses it all. And so again, if we're talking about mental health, if we're talking about mental illness, God has given us tools and a strategy to fight in that realm. He's given us understanding to help. He's given us something to administer to those needs that are inside of us. And also to not keep the conversation private. We don't have to hide it. But my fear is this, guys. I think we've went from casting out demons to coddling them. We went from rebuking the devil to giving it a name, giving the demons names and calling them our own, my anxiety. My anxiety? No. I'm just talking about a mind shift because it's so prevalent. 77% of teens, 50% of people. It's just, and most of us, a lot of us, naturally just kind of fall into the carnal. We're being lulled into the carnal. We're being put to sleep. Our very present enemy does not want us to fight. He wants us to suffer. The Bible says he wants to wear out the saints. He wants to wear us out. We can go to the next slide. This is not to say if you suffer from mental illness or if you've encountered it on a high level personally that you're not saved. Because full disclosure, I've had some thoughts. If at times there are some things that have went through my mind that if you put it on a monitor like us, what's up behind me, y'all will run out of here. You would get up, no, I'm not listening to this guy. Did you just see that thought? Not y'all, just me. Not nobody else. It's just me. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is if it's an issue of this proportion, I think it begs us to take that conversation to God, to submit that conversation back to the church. There should be people showing up at hospitals saying, my pastor told me to come here. My pastor told me I needed to come have this conversation. But what we don't want to do is say, if it's a small problem, then we can talk about it at church. But if it's too big, then you got to go get professional help. Come on. It's about hearing the voice of God. I'm going to disclose some of my daughters here, but I'm going to tell you the conversation we had because God talked to her and me through the conversation because I preached this message already. She had it. She got it. Preach it to myself this morning. So this I'm just reiterating it now. And she said, well, what you're saying there is kind of confusing. On one hand, you're saying go to the doctor. On one hand, you're saying don't, just ask God. And I said, no, I didn't say don't ever. I said, you just got to ask God. And that's the scary part when you say, well, you got to ask God. Because then you think it gets murky, right? You think it gets murky if you have to say God told me. No. This is how I explained it to her. She was going to ask me to go to a friend's event that she was having, right? She sent me a text. First of all, she was in the building and I was outside the building. She sent me a text, so I already knew something was up. Something's going on. Why are you texting me? You can come out and ask me, why are you texting me? So we talking without talking. I'm talking about you and God. If you know him, and you speak to him, you have a relationship with him. My daughter said, Dad, I want to go to said event. Send me a picture of the flyer for his church event. And so she got in the car. And I told her, I said, in the same way you asked me, how do you know what God is saying? I said, when you sent me that text, you knew I was going to say no, didn't you? She was like, yeah, I knew. I knew you was going to say no. I really didn't want to go either. But, you know, it's like I figured I got to put it out there because I got invited. I said, in the same way, that's how we hear God. It is not always this, I woke up at 3 and it was a dream. Listen, if you have a relationship with your Father, if you know your Father, if you're in his word, if you know how he operates, if you can find it in the scripture, and then you go to God as you normally go to him day to day in conversation with him, the same way you go in prayer, the same way you go when you fast, and you know when you feel that emptiness, when God is filling you up and you say, Lord, do I go here or do I go there? You just know. God can speak to, he still speaks. You know he still speaks. He's also put us in community. I just said we're physical. We have an emotional need to be met. We have a social need. Ask somebody else. If you can see on my face that I'm preaching today, you should be able to see when something's wrong with me. You should be able to give me practical, sound, wise advice from the Spirit that gives me direction. And that's how God will operate. So Galatians 5 and 22, the fruit of the Spirit. I believe that is where our warfare starts. If you actually look, just look up anxiety, depression, suicidal ideation, post-traumatic stress disorder, and you look at the symptoms and you look at the manifestations and you look at the origins, they're in direct contrast of the fruit of the Spirit. In direct contrast of the fruit of the Spirit. Meaning, God is saying that the answer to whatever you would deal with is in the Spirit of God. Now I'm going to give you the Spirit of God. And now everything that you need that pertains to life and godliness will be satisfied in the Spirit of God, living in you with the knowledge of the word, helping the God, with the community I've placed around you, being another parent. We have 360 access to what God is saying. And at the center of it, the fruit of the Spirit, combating loneliness with joy. Combating the capacity to be double-minded with being stable and obedient. We're being unwavering in our faith to God. We're not allowing anxiety to overtake us, but peace, being the fruit of the Spirit, to be what we anchor ourselves on. Peace is not something we invoke. Peace is the very presence of God. And so if we set the tone for the fruit of the Spirit to be active in us, it automatically combats what we talk about as health, mental health issues. And again, I'm not casting a net so broad as to say, well, if you're dealing with this, you just don't know God that good. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that this is the warfare of the enemy. This is what he's seeking to do. He's seeking to immobilize you. He's seeking to keep, I'll give you a little tip. This is a free one. It's free. You can have it. When you talk about lukewarm, talk about being lukewarm. Understanding that, you know, a lot of people say, you're lukewarm Christians, you're just not doing nothing. Actually read the scripture and see what it's talking about. I don't remember the cities because I don't remember all the cities and all the biblical references. Don't judge me because I don't know the exact verse. It's in there. Bet you it's in there. But there were two cities near Laodicea, the church that Jesus was speaking about. It was two cities near there, and that's where they got their water, through aqueduct systems. One had hot springs, the other one had some kind of refrigeration where cool water would come from them, hot springs, warm water would come from them. And Laodicea, the problem was, through that system, through the time that water traveled, by the time it got to Laodicea, it was unusable. And God likened that to say, if you are lukewarm, I will spit you out. Because if the water is hot enough, you can bathe in it. You'd be used for medicinal purposes. If it's cold enough, you can drink it. But if it's lukewarm, it's unusable. That's the purpose of that scripture where it talks about that church in Laodicea being a lukewarm Christian. It means you're unusable. Do you understand that the enemy wants to make you unusable? So afraid to have the conversation about mental health inside of the church, but so unprepared and unequipped to minister to those needs spiritually. You're stuck in this gray space whereby it's like, I ain't okay either, but you know, I don't know. I come up for prayer and I just want prayer for, I get it. I get it. We're breaking that fear. Again, I don't have all, we're breaking that fear. We're done. We're done with that. We're done with, I can't speak to that because I'm not this or I'm not that. No, God said that we all are required to go out and be a witness unto him. And right now, if the world is needing a witness of someone who is mentally sound, a witness of someone who knows where to get the answers from, you have to go be that witness. gives a whole new understanding that by my stripes you are healed. They may not just be on the outside. Because if Jesus struggled with everything that we would be tested with, and he was so stressed to the point of where a medical condition was manifest, then what about you? And if he was so outlandish and outrageous with what he said and thought that it could look like a mental illness in today's time, then you're not crazy. You're not crazy. The Bible says that the Bible, the word of God, is foolishness to those who are perishing. You feel like you're crazy because the world around you is perishing. And so you may not be suffering with mental illness. You may not be distressed because of a bad spirit. You might just be experiencing what Jesus said you would experience. They're going to hate you for my name's sake. You're going to feel like you're unraveling. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. These are not in my notes. I'm just, when you remember the word and God brings it back, many are the afflictions. So you're telling me, you told me beforehand, if I intend to be righteous by the righteousness of Christ. So if you love Jesus, you're righteous, right? That don't mean you did right this morning. That just means that you did right by accepting Jesus Christ. Many are your afflictions. That's not a curse. That's a promise. If we do not wage war according to the world, and we wage war according to the Spirit, we recognize spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6, 10 and 3. That's my next slide. It's my last slide. I'm done yelling. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. God, scripture is so rich. It's so rich. Sometimes we say it and we don't know what we're saying. We're quoting things, we don't know what we're quoting. And sometimes you just gotta take a step back off the word. Let the word do the word. Let it work in you. Don't work it. Don't eisegete it. Don't put into it what you want it to be for you. When God says to put on the whole armor that you may be able to stand, that denotes a need to stand or something trying to get you to sit or lay down or be out. But the armor of God is what's going to cover you, that's going to cause you to stand. The wiles of the devil. It's a wild one. I ain't scared of him. Because I'm wise, not because I'm strong. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. That's how I talk to him. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. My big brother. For we do not wrestle against, this is the rest of Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. It is about standing in this hour. It is about discerning in this hour. If we know we are serving a God who has given us all things that pertain to this stand, let's take part in it. Let's oblige. Let's say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. We're not afraid of the numbers. We're not afraid of one out of one in 50. Because the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. So one out of 100 saints will be afflicted. That's a statistic for you. 100 out of 100. 100 out of 100 will be impacted by warfare. So be prepared. Take up the whole armor. We could go, listen, we could stay here. We can go unpack the armor. We could unpack the armor because once, don't tempt me with a good time. Because I can talk if you haven't noticed. I'll do it. That's okay. My daughter going to get in the car. I'm going to tell her, dog, but you're going to sit there for an hour. Thank you for letting me practice on you. I appreciate that. My wife, too. Yeah. If we unpack that spiritual armor that we put on, it's protecting those same areas. It's protecting those same vulnerable places. I want to end with this. What do we do? What do we do? Well, we go win souls. There's no new thing I got for you. There's no greater commission than the one that has already been given. But go challenge the mentalities and the worldly understanding of what we're experiencing already. Go challenge it. The mind, the will, and the emotions of people are under attack. Souls need to be saved. Our own. Guys, in this room alone, and we're going to pray. We're going to get ready to pray here in a bit, because we open up this conversation not to invoke fear. We didn't bring nothing on ourselves for talking about it. You know, just because you think say nothing about it, it's not there. No, it's actually the opposite. God wants to bring it to light. He wants to expose it to the light and cause us to begin to accept that healing and to receive that healing. I want to say to you, if you're in the medical field, pray. Pray. I understand you go in and listen. You got your stuff and you done went to school a long time. I am not diminishing that, okay? And I need you. We need you. But we need you to pray. We need you in those spaces where people aren't sick and infirmed and struggling and not okay. Where people are about to meet God. We need you in those spaces. You got to pray. If you're in sales, pray. Why would I say sales? One, because if you're a believer, you're praying. But why? Because you're meeting people sometimes that are desperate. Or you're meeting people that is an automatic opportunity for you to take offense. Because anybody in sales knows that it's about the no. I was in sales 15 years. You meet people where there's an immediate opportunity for there to be an offense. And so begin to pray. Take that no and still offer prayer. Tell them if you can, and if you don't, have to pray for them in secret. Sneak pray them. Lord, just bless them. All right, ma'am. It's okay. Bye. Bless them, Lord. If you work with the next generation, with children or with teens, we need you to pray. This next generation, guys, again, we can do this. We could do this a long time. They are under attack. They are under attack. And I know I have a small sample size, but I'm telling you, as a dean and ad hoc chaplain in this space, the warfare is real. And they need us. They need us. Yes, the altar is going to be open for us to come and pray and for us to come and be healed. But we've heard the message. We've understood it today. We received it. It's went into good soil. It's about those that we need to go take this to. If you're a business owner, pray. You encounter so many people. So many people that the lust for money, because when you say business owner now, you think the lust for money, that which the Bible says the love of it is the root of all kinds of evil. You're encountering people daily that are blinded by this thing that is overwhelming, that has taken out so many. Pray. Have those conversations. Talk about the things that you think were off limits at one point. Get more versed. I encourage you to learn more. Find out more. Don't try to speak into something. I don't think I've overstepped that boundary. As a ordained pastor, I can speak towards the things that are in the Bible. I can do that. As a believer, you can talk to people about what God says. If you're retired or a stay-at-home mom or dad, pray. Lay hands. God, this word reaches us all. It reaches us all. Find your space. I want to ask that we stand. I want to pray with us, because I believe the conversation has been open. I believe the table is set. Our understanding is aligned with God's understanding. We cannot set mental health aside or in a different realm or in a different plane. It is right here in front of us, and God has it under control. There's a couple things I want to pray for as I'm led. And if this is you, we set up moments like this, not because there's some special sauce at the time of prayer, but the Bible instructs us to lay hands on one another, to pray for one another, that in the multitude of counselors we are safe, that when two or three are gathered, every word is established, that when two or three are there, that God is in the midst. And so these moments are set up. This is not the time to hang back or put your head down. If you've been struggling with mental illness, if you've been struggling with your mental health, God has an answer for you. God has an answer for you. And it's right now. God wants to begin to address it. I'm gonna share something personal with you, and I battle back and forth if I wanted to share it, but if it causes somebody to get free, I'm hoping that it does. Because we all struggle in different ways. I realize, this is very personal to me, I realize that my mother passed away when I was 5 years old. And from a young person, I remember one statement that my older brother, who experienced a death much older than I was, I think he was 19, he said that my mom had gotten into faith healing towards the end of her life. She was only 33 when she passed away. She was only 33 years old. And so she had gotten into faith healing, and their estimation was she would go to God and go to prayer rather than go to the hospital and take care of herself. And this has been kind of an unspoken thing in my family since I was little. And I remember my brother saying, yeah, because she would go to those preachers. She would go to those pastors instead of going to where she really should have went. And I'm sharing that because there's two things that the enemy did. One, he set us on the path to not believe God for healing. We accepted as a family a stronghold of disbelief in the healing power of God. The second thing, and I never shared this with my siblings, I had never shared it with them before, but I found out once we finally opened up about it a few years ago that several of us felt the same way. I always thought I would die before I made 33. I literally grew up thinking, because somebody's getting free. I'm sharing it for a reason. Somebody getting free. I lived with the fear of dying before the age of 33. Completely unfounded. No reasoning behind it whatsoever. I didn't even make the connection. I didn't know, because I wasn't saved. I didn't even know that it came because of that trauma. It was so traumatic in my life. And it was so traumatic that my entire family has struggled with a real viable and real walk in relationship with God. I struggled. I thought that I would pass away. And all of my family struggled with coming to God in a real way. And so many of us in this room, our families, we've had things that were traumatic in our lives that broke us, that messed with our minds so that we are a certain way because of it. I'm asking you now, if you know something like that for your own family, if you know something in your family, there are people in this room right now that you just don't think God has the good things for you that you've seen him have for other people. You just think that God has chosen you to hurt and to be in pain or to be in lack. And you just don't believe God is as good to me or to you as he was to me. You don't believe it. If that's you, you put your hand up. Get your hand up. Get both hands up. In fact, everybody lift your hands up. If you know there to be something in your family that's a stronghold that is holding you back, whether it be insanity, the spirit of insanity, at a certain age, people begin to lose their mind. At a certain phase, even if you've stared down the face of a mental illness where you struggle with suicidal ideation or extreme depression, Lord, we just come before you right now in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you that you are holy, that you are God, that you are all-knowing, that you are all-powerful. Lord, that you know our beginning and you know our end. Lord, you know that there are so many struggles, Lord God, so many things that mentally could hold us back. Lord God, so many fiery darts of the enemy that have been sent out on families, so many curses that have been spoken. Right now, Lord God, we put them all before you in the name of Jesus. Every word spoken against you, every word spoken against us, oh God, every lie, every place of deceit, everything that has been covered up, every familiar spirit in the name of Jesus, every family relic that has been kept in place, Lord God, that is aligned against your word and your will and that fights us mentally and spiritually, oh God, we lay them before you. And we say to those things and to their Lord, Satan, the Lord rebuke you in the name of Jesus. The Lord rebuke you. Hallelujah, Lord. We declare that you are holy. You are above all. Lord, you are all powerful. And for all of those things, Lord God, everything that is being laid down in front of you right now, oh God, Lord, that you have authority over it. Lord God, we speak freedom, Lord. You said that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Lord, and we know that by reading your word, Lord God, and looking upon it with the eyes of the Spirit, oh God, that when you said free indeed, that includes our minds. that includes our mental health, that includes our physical, that includes every curse, every bondage, every hang-up, every insecurity. You said free indeed. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We give you honor. We thank you, Lord. You are worthy. Let's thank him right now. Let's thank him right now. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.